$5.99.
At least.
What about the stove that came in with it? Do you have any idea on that? You might have something different next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, I'll have them.
Alright.
That's where you would have come out, my dear. So, nurse, I can see the water tower. Who is down by the water tower? I can see it from. But is it? Yeah, well, you got to go up and twist and turn. Yeah. No, yeah, and you're right. The roads are better, smoother, faster. Anyway, in that story, this guy said at the end of World War II, he was basically a soldier of fortune guy, and there's a country called Paraguay in South America. Paraguay is a landlocked country. It's right in the middle. It's next to Panama, next to a whole bunch of countries. But the president was an ex-Gestapo SS officer, and he was elected president of that Paraguay country. And he was the president for, I don't know, 20 or 30, 40 years. And they had super tight border controls. You could not get in that country. They wouldn't let you in. And if they did let you in, you was under close supervision. And if they caught you, you was treated very badly. Anyway, it was really just pretty well locked up. And that's where a lot of the Nazi big shots went. And when they went there, they took all the loot. The loot they took, when they overran France and Belgium and all them other countries, all the money in the banks, all the safety deposit boxes, they took it all. Of course, a lot of it belonged to Jews. And of course, they were exterminating all the Jews. And the thing is, that when the war was over, none of that was recovered. And nobody knows what the Nazis did with it. Anyway... this guy here, his supposition was that all that wealth from Europe went to Paraguay, and the people behind Hitler, the Nazis, were still functioning, but they had lost the war. And anyway, they sit around and figured, well, work a day, and their objective was communism. And the reason they couldn't control elections in communist countries with money. In all democratic countries, it's money that controls the election. You can get anybody put in office if you keep working at it by contributing money to political campaigns and helping the people that you want to go along with your overall idea. Anyway, an example would have been our police force. Our police force back in the 50s and 60s, they were Pillsbury Doughboys. They had their nightstick and a 38 and just regular old clothes pretty much. But you look at our police force now, it looks like the Gestapo. Well, how do you change a country of people who's got, you know, kind of friendly, roly-poly cops into an SS-type police force? Well, you do it with politicians. The politicians keep saying, we need more law and order, more law. So you elect them. So they're doing what you want without shit, without them even knowing. They just think they're being good citizens. And that money... okay, so now here in the United States, the police are really kind of like Gestapo in a way. They could do whatever they want, and then they got to answer for it later. Anyway, this guy said that in his story. Now, this is back in the 60s, and I was in junior high school and I was reading this story. And anyway, he said that they couldn't track the gold and silver, but they could stocks and bonds. And there was millions and millions of dollars worth of European and American stocks and bonds that were entering up back in the market. And that money, he thought, was being used to elect politicians in the United States. The people behind Hitler, they hated communism, had to be destroyed because they can't control it with elections. Because the communist elections are screwed up. You can't buy them with money. Or it's harder to anyway. So, in a way, when Putin says he's at war with the Nazis, well, in a way, he may be right. I mean, and right now, the Nazis, as far as Putin's concerned, they've amassed a huge army. They said that if all the NATO forces send all their tanks, they would have a 2,000 tank army. They're mostly Leopard tanks, them good German-built tanks. And the Germans are saying, no, you can't use them. You can't, because the Germans, twice they got their ass whipped by Russia. And I don't think they want to be part of it again. And Putin, I don't believe he'll back down. Well, they're going to give him 15. Well, and then they told, yeah, but they've got over 2,000 tanks in Germany alone. But they give them 15, but they said that the other countries could give tanks. Well, there's another 2,000 tanks in France, and you know, in the NATO countries, Belgium and Sweden, I don't know. And if they all sent their tanks into Russia, my God, that'd be one hell of a tank army. And the thing with tactical nukes. Yeah, yeah, they got to be shipped. All them countries, yeah, they got to use a rail system to ship all the tanks over. And Russia will blow up all the train tracks in Ukraine, I'm sure. So it's going to be pretty tough. But if I do believe if Putin starts feeling like he's losing, I do believe he'll use a tactical nuke. And I was reading up on tactical nukes. The smallest one that you can make is the size of a Hiroshima bomb. Well, now Hiroshima, that was a 20 kiloton bomb. These ones, they shoot out of cannons, they're half that size. And that's the smallest they can make them, because you got to have a certain amount of plutonium to make the explosion. If you get less than that, it won't explode. Anyway, I do believe if the Europeans and Americans get a really good-sized tank army, he'll pop one over the top of them. And the thing is, with like that type bomb, it'll clear a 1 square mile area. Anything living in that 1 square mile will be either burnt or hit with enough radiation that they're pretty well dead immediately. And then as you go further away, say 2 miles away, you got fire. And anyway, they said that they're specifically designed to be used against tanks. And if we get a bunch of tanks in there, I would not be surprised if Putin don't say, all right, I told you. And then pop one off. And when he does, they have not even said what they're going to do. Now, we could use our tactical nukes against the Russian tanks in Ukraine. We could do that. But the Ukrainians are going to be sitting there saying, what the shit? Boom. I mean, because everything in that area is going to be pretty well incinerated. And I don't know. None of the politicians are talking about what they're going to do if that happens. And to me, it seems like it's a crime almost. I mean, not one politician has ever mentioned that. What are you going to do if he uses tactical nuke? Well, and one guy did ask him, and they said, well, we have contingency plans. Well, tell us what they are. Nope, top secret.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think the reason we're heads, those tanks we got are pieces of shit. They're jet, they got a jet engine in them, and they suck 5 times more air than a diesel engine does. So it sucks in lots of dirt and grit and grime, so you got to have a really huge filter. And then if it gets plugged up, you don't get enough air and your jet engine stalls. So, and we found that out in Desert Storm with those tanks. And instead of making a good diesel, we kept making them damn Abrams, which cost, I think, about $1 billion. I mean, it's a lot of money for the damn things. And a reason we haven't sent them is I'm afraid when they get over there and everybody sees what a piece of shit tank it is, it'll make us look bad. Because that's, we said, hey, we got all these Abrams. Well, if we send them over there, we'll find out how good they are. And if they're not that good, the Europeans are going to say, what the shit? And they're all using these well-built, decent German tanks. They're going to say, well, Germany's the real one. Oh, he's got a lot of damn irons in the fire. He had a meeting with the mayor for city council. They wanted him to participate in down where he's got that building that burnt. They're trying to set up some kind of a TIF area or some kind of a state-funded deal. Now, he said, like, on his building that caught fire, he got, under that program, he got his taxes froze for 10 years. And I think it was only... Well, this TIF program, he said, basically, I don't know, it's something. Anyway, he said, you know, they invited him in. They was just looking for speakers, and they all seemed to want him to have some suggestions on how to set up their development program in that part of town on State Street there. So Andy, I think, felt kind of honored by that, but I don't know how the meeting went or anything. But he said he got them off his back about that building. He said they was making all kinds of threats, and basically, he talked to the mayor and the alderman and said, what is the best he could do? And they said, well, okay. So they said, so he don't, all he's got to do is promise to improve it, you know, over quite a lot of time. So,
well, you know, they come in there and they want to do all the stuff. But I think instead of destroying the building, they'd rather save it.
Oh, yeah. So, well, taxes.
Just like that one we're on.
Yeah.
When Bob made the old Bob's
mm-hmm.
land, he owned that.
Giving him a hard time, yeah. Oh, yeah, he had the money. And he could have made a little Kmart there or something. I mean, if he took all those buildings down, that.
And I think he filmed just because he knew Lil, because he told him at first he said he was interested in selling it. And then. Leo used to, when he was doing lawn care, he used to mow all of his property.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his rentals.
Yeah.
And everything out of the office, whatever. And he got smart with Leo and said, well, if I sold them to you, and he said, well, what are you going to do with them? He told me what he was going to do. And he said, well, let me think about it. He said, I'll go ahead and do it. He said, I'd rather you guys have them than the city of them.
That's good. Yeah, that worked out well. That worked out well. Yeah, that worked out well. Well, you know that they're rebuilding that paper box building. And there's going to be something big going in there. I don't know what he's got in mind, but that's a huge building.
I mean, I don't know if it's a learning center or the people that have it or written it to do, but it's something to do with kids. And they said that they were going to set up different rooms.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they were talking about, but it had to do with, like, young kids.
Right.
You know, kind of like kindergarten, but it wasn't like kindergarten. I don't know what it was. I didn't really understand it.
Right. Yeah, I...
They're taking the top layers off and keeping the bottom part, kind of like Andy did.
Well, I seen her. Well, I mean, they gutted the building, and if Leo would have been around them dumpsters out there, I know I would have helped him if I could. It was full of all kinds of stuff, tables and chairs, and oh my God, whatever was in there, he just throwed it in dumpsters. And I imagine there was some stuff that could have been sold. Whoops. Yeah, I know that Andy was showing me that one car of his. It'll stay right in the, you know, if you go off to the side, it'll pull itself back in. Or if you start to cross the center lane.
Now, mine's got a thing I can set. My concept doesn't like it.
Uh-huh.
If you go across either line or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It starts to
catch
it.
Mm.
I don't want to be happy if I do cross
the
forest.
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah. Well, see, that's the only thing I can see wrong with them Tesla cars. I like the fact that they're all the same. That's like the old Fords and the old Volkswagens. You know, if they're all the same, when they break down, you can go to another old one and take parts off of it. Well, these new cars, no matter whose you buy, if you need parts out of a junkyard, my God, everything's different. The motors are different. Transmission, you can't. I mean, year to year, they're different. You know, it used to be like a 289 or a 327. or a 318 Dodge. I mean, they were the same engine for 20 years. Well, 10 years anyway. Well, no, 20 years in some cases. You know, and so there was plenty of parts. And that's with these Teslas. As time goes on, and they do start getting wore out and getting crashed and whatever happens to them, well, hell, the doors and the fenders, if they come off, you can just reuse them. You know, put them back on another Tesla. Just like the old Volkswagens. You know, it used to be you could find Volkswagen parts everywhere because it's all the same. Same type motor, same type body, same type wheels and brakes. And I remember my grandpa was bitching there towards the end of his life. They started changing the Volkswagens, making them more modern. And grandpa didn't like that. The one he had, it had a valve. It had two tanks. It didn't have a gas gauge at all. It didn't even have a gas gauge. It had two tanks. You filled them both up. And then when one run out, you opened up the other one. And you knew when you opened that up, you had, I don't know. Well, you knew you had the same amount of range. So I don't know how much miles. I know they got like 30 miles to the gallon, though. And it's probably, I bet it was 2 5-gallon tanks. Well, anyway, it didn't even have a gas gauge. I remember Grandpa was bitching because when the new Volkswagens come out with a single tank and a gas gauge, he thought, that's not needed. That's not needed. Yeah, shoot. I still would like to get a Tesla car. My driving days, I think, are pretty well over, but unless I get to feeling a lot better, and I don't think I will. I said my feet and hands are constantly getting number. And that's the reason sometimes I think I should just settle in out there at the veterans home and say, this is it. This is the last roundup.
Just, getting out,
well, that's true.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
People in there and just sit there
and do nothing. Right. True. I would.
And you have a bar close to you. I think it's nice the way that bar right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. That's. Mm-hmm. No, I'm about the only one who goes over there, though. They used to have lots of veterans at one time, but. Well, yeah, basically. They just all died off. And the new people that come there, a lot of them are too sick to really go anywhere. So I don't know. I know Richard, he's been living there for 20 years. I keep going over to the bar. I say, hey, Richard, you want to go over to the bar with me? And he said, oh, I used to go over there. But he don't want to go over there no more, so he might have gotten in trouble over there or something. I don't know. But I really feel sorry for him. He spent 20 years of his life in there. And I was thinking over the years when I was working there, there was a gal named Helen and her husband, whose name I forgot, that was a sergeant and his wife. And they died. Almost everybody around him has died in the last 20 years. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of tough on you. You know, people you get used to. Yeah, you know. I mean, you get used to living with them and you know. Yeah. Well, a lot of people give Richard a hard time, and he acts goofy. And I think it's the pills they're giving him. I know several times they've stuck him over in the other units where he's more closely monitored because they don't think his behavior is correct. And I'm pretty sure he's taking some kind of drugs because he'll start talking about, you know, completely crazy stuff. And anyway, that's just what he does. And whenever he starts rattling on about something, I listen, you know, and agree with him or disagree with him a little bit. Yeah. But a lot of his stuff is really, you know, he's just not quite all there sometimes. But he used to not be like that. When I was working there, he was good help. He used to help me. He used to push everybody around in the wheelchairs.
hear about that guy getting beat up on
The what's that? Harrison Pub. I stop in there sometimes. It's a nice bar, but it's one. Huh? Oh, I heard that on. They was talking about that at the bar. Well, they said the deal was a little more than just the guy that got beat up was beating up his girlfriend. And you know. Oh, okay.
Didn't get beat up.
Oh, okay.
She said that
at the bar said some guy was beating some girl up, another guy jumped him and beat his ass. That's what they said at the firehouse. But they didn't mention nobody's names, and I didn't know any of them. So
his girlfriend runs what was that restaurant out by that high B?
Yeah. He really got.
And that you know, she's not gonna be back today because she's up there with him.
Wow! Did you hear what happened at all, or how it happened?
The lady that I eat breakfast with that knows him.
Uh huh.
I haven't had breakfast with her again yet, so I'm trying to.
Well, I mean, the guy that beat him up, did he know him or?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They said that they're gonna talk to Cindy.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, at Firehouse, what they said there, they said that...
But it was on the news, or in the paper, that...
They said something, well, at the...
Police found him outside the car, and they thought that it was just like a... Maybe he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Called the ambulance and got him, but they picked him up and realized he'd been beat up. And they were looking at security cameras, and they seen several people beat him up and leaving.
Shit.
And that... This guy turned himself in
and got
arrested.
Oh, shit.
I guess they had him on camera pretty good.
Okay. Okay, well, it's I don't know. It sounds like at the firehouse, his side of the story is going to be that guy was punching his girlfriend or wife, and then so he decided to...
Yeah, but you could beat someone up without that. You know what I mean?
I don't...
People are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't need 10 people to beat up one person.
Right. Well, that's kind of like Andy's brother, Ian. He's a crackhead, and he come to Quincy here, and he's dingier and shit. Brandon said he's a scared to even be around him. And anyway, he was in town here, and
whose brother is it?
It's Andy and Brandon's younger brother. Or, yeah, see, after Pam, well, I would have probably, I probably would have married her a third time, except she got knocked up by some guy who worked on a barge. And she had a kid with him. And that's all she did. She just had a kid. She got knocked up, and, of course, he was gone. He worked on a barge. So, and his name was, what the hell was his? He died here not too long ago. Shit, I used to see him in bars all the time. As a matter of fact, son of a bitch, when me and Pam was first split up, he was with her. And he had a joint behind his ear. And her and him would come down to my bar where I always went Sparky's. It wasn't called Sparky's. It was called something else then. And anyway, Pam said, oh, can I borrow the truck? I need to move some stuff. And I was on my motorcycle. And I started to walk out to it. And I said, fuck no. Use his fucking truck. And then I went out and got in the motorcycle. Well, that son of a bitch came out behind me with a goddamn pitcher and smacked me in the back of the fucking head and knocked me off the motorcycle. Anyway, I thought, you know, I what the fuck? Anyway, I got up and I was, you know, woozy as shit. And a bunch of people come out and they said, you know, get the hell out of here. And I thought, that son of a bitch. So I grabbed a hold of him and we commenced wrestling around. And I drug him into that alley next to Players, where it was Sparky's then. I had that son of a bitch up against the wall and I was choking him so fucking hard. I mean, I was pushing my thumbs in his throat. That son of a bitch was turning blue, starting to gag. I was going to kill the motherfucker. But Pam and these other people were all screaming and yelling at me, let him go, let him go, let him go. So I ended up letting him go. And as I was walking away, he goes, pussy. Oh, fuck. Anyway, that's the father of Ian. That's all I know about him is I should have I shouldn't have killed him. I shouldn't have. No, whatever. I think back and just pissed the whole thing. Anyway, Pam knocked up, that was it. I thought, that's it. Fuck it. We are done. And I planned on never ever seeing her or the kids again. I thought, they're your kids. You take the goddamn things. Get the hell out of my life. But that ain't how it worked out.
So he's in town now?
He's dead. Oh, and he's Ian. Well, his name is Ian. Okay. Well, when Pam got knocked up, her sister, who couldn't have kids, Patty, she was married to Pat. And they lived right next door. Well, they rented a big house. They lived in it. And so they adopted Ian when he was born, and they raised him. But Andy said he thinks we've all got a bad gene in us, a crazy gene. And he said, you know, Brandon's got bad, and I got it too, a little, not maybe bad enough to screw me up. But Cousin Billy was bad, and Cousin Uncle Leo was bad, and Pam was bad. Oh, yeah, his daughter. She just had brain surgery down at Barnes. Bella, the youngest daughter, and Andy's so proud of her. She said she's so good. She does everything, music, dancing, and spin. Well, she keeps having the same type shit Pam said she had. Pam kept bitching to me all the time. She goes, I got these funny feelings. I got these funny. And I'd tell her, what? You know, get the fuck over it. to me, that was, so you got a bad fucking feeling, well, deal with it. Because I guess I get bad feelings all the time. Anyway, I ignored Pam's problem, if it was indeed a problem. And I don't think it was, really. We got along fine until she started using.
Get back to what she
answered. Oh, about?
Bella, my Bella.
She kept having these seizures. I don't know what the hell it was, little blackouts or something. Of course, she told her mom and Andy, and they took her to the doctors, and the doctors checked her out and did this and did that, and they said she was having seizures. So then they started treating her for some kind of thing, and then they ended up sending her down to Barnes, and they said she's got a growth on the frontal lobe of her brain that's causing these problems she's having. And the only way they can fix it is to give her a lobotomy and remove that portion of her frontal lobe. Huh? Well, if your frontal lobe is from your eyebrow, yeah, it would be in the front part of your brain. The frontal lobe, that's the part that's over the eyes. Anyway, Andy said they'd have to cut her skull completely open, cut the bad stuff out. And anyway, they're trying to get by without doing that. But I know... He said she's not supposed to drive, I think. I thought, boy, she just got her driver's license, too. That'd be a bitch. In a way, I thought, forget about it. Just go ahead and find somebody, get pregnant, have a kid or two while you got the time, you know. And then, no, she's back at home, and I don't know what. So Andy's got two of his kids at home. Christian, he don't want to work. I mean, he's tried killing himself once. And so he's got his hands full with all kinds of shit, you know. And then down there in Texas, we just got a court summons from Terry's daughter. She's claiming all of his assets. And Andy said his lawyers that we got talked to, they said the lawyers that she's got are the best lawyers in Corpus Christi. And she'll almost certainly win the case. So I don't know what Andy's doing. I give him all the court summons papers and said, well, you know, deal with it as best you can. But I got about $10,000 or $15,000 tied. Well, I'm supposed to. Supposedly, whatever kind of settlement they'll have, I'll get my $15,000 back. But I don't know. I ain't counting on it. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Ian. Okay. He was fucked up on crack or something, and he went into Rack Daddy's and punched this doctor who was playing pool in the jaw and broke his jaw and broke his nose, and he turned around and walked back out and drove off. He had no fucking reason. It's just meth headed out, probably. Anyway, he called Andy up and told him what he did. And well, Andy said, you know, your options are turn yourself in or don't. And Andy, you know, so anyway, Ian decided to turn himself in. Which, if I would have been talking to him, I'd have said, get the fuck out of town, because he lives down by St. Louis. And they had him on camera, and they had his car and stuff, but they didn't know who it was. And Andy, of course, he identified his brother, so I thought, oh, shit, that's bad. On the other hand, Ian does need help, so, you know, it's probably the best, because, you know, well, he got two more felonies, because once they put it, when he's in jail, he tried to break out twice, and he got... Yeah, that was him. And, you know, I told Andy, well, get a hold of the VA, because like Brandon, you know, Brandon tried to kill himself, and the VA stepped in, and they got him full disability. Oh, yeah. And so I don't know what they're going to do, but he's got himself in a world of shit. And like I said, this might be the best thing, but I don't know. It just... So anyway... Well, Brandon likes him. He's his brother. He grew up with him. You know, I mean, until Patty had died.
I guess I shouldn't have said
him. Yeah. Brandon says he stopped at his house one or two times, and Brandon said he's crazy. He said, I don't want him around me. I thought, well, okay, Brandon.
Yeah. Brandon
makes
crazy.
Yeah, that's... So, anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so Andy's got a whole lot of stuff going on, and I wish I could help him. The only thing I could do is do a little financial help, and that's about all I can do. I told him basically my assets, I just want to keep them intact. I said, I don't want you to just spend it. You know, with money, the wealth I've accumulated, I want you just to keep it in storage, you know, until sometime when it's really needed. I mean, you might think you need to spend my money now, but leave the fucking shit alone. Spend your own damn money. You know. Anyway, I don't know if they'll do that or not. I hope so. Well, that was the reason I was trying to set up the cloning corporation. I thought if I could have got that set up, I'd put half my assets into that. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But right now, the best thing is I-bonds. You can buy them directly. You can look it up on your computer. Look up I-bonds. My cousins and I all got I-bonds. Pay like 10 or 15% interest, and it's not taxable. And they're also they're issued by the government, and they're inflation protected. If inflation goes up 10% during the lifetime of the bond, the government matches the inflation rate. So you get 10% interest. You get inflation protected, and it's a government I-bond. Oh, the biggest problem is you only put $10,000 in it a year. So if you
put $10,000 in for 1 year.
Yeah.
So you put another
$10,000. Yeah.
Okay, so then how long would you put it in?
Well, they got different length I-bombs. You can buy them for 6 months. I think you can buy them for a year. You can buy them for 2 years, 5 years. The thing is, the longer the age, the higher the interest. So a 6 month one might not have 9% interest. It might only be 7 or 8% interest. Anyway, look on your computer. They're called I bonds, and I tried to get Andy. No. Well, I bonds are issued by the federal government. If you go to their website, wherever that is, I guess you just Google it and ask for I bonds. How do I buy them? And it'll tell you. But you buy them directly from the U.S. government. There ain't no middlemen involved. This is from, and they're government I bonds. Basically, they're bonds loaning the federal government money, is what it is. And of course, federal government's always been good on paying back the bonds. Anyway, you can get different. You can get different. I mean, okay, you don't get the interest until the end of the time. Yeah. So if you get a 10-year I bond, however, you can borrow money against the I bonds. If you need to borrow money, say you got a 20,000 10-year I bond at the bank, if you need to borrow against it, you can use that as collateral, and the bank will loan you money against that if you need it, or a certain amount of money anyway. So, you know, you can use them for a lot of things besides just making interest. And I wanted to get some, but I don't know. I just seen him discussing that on one of the money shows. And my cousin Dick told me about him, too. He's a multimillionaire. He said, oh, hell yes, I bonds. And you can put more in it than $10,000. And I ain't sure how he – well, I just – if you check into it, just sometime if you want to check, just look up government I bonds. And it's – nobody's involved. It's strictly between you and the Federal Reserve. There's no banks in between you and them. And okay, the thing with money markets is the banks in between you and them. So they're not exactly directly yours. I mean, you buy them, but the bank kind of manages them, you know. Well, with them, yeah, I have money, or I had money in those money market. But no, I do now. I take it back. I got 100,000 money markets down there at Mercantile. But I think it's only paying 1% interest or 2% interest, something like it's ridiculous. And I told Andy, I need to get that changed into something better. And the thing is, I keep relying on Andy because I don't want to do anything anymore. I don't want to think.
I know.
Well, that's like, no. And I, you know, but the thing is, I'm just, I guess, weary of life in a way. I really would like to get cloning set up. I could die with a backup plan. Said other than just going to heaven or hell.
Right, that's just like it. You'll find anything you want it to. You don't want to make a decision. You don't want to have to die. So you want another life. So you get
it. Put off all these decisions till next life. You're right. Yeah, do it all. I want to do it all.
Your next life. You don't have to worry about anything.
And another one. And
yeah,
another
maybe
one.
Maybe that's why you want the clone.
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah, I'd like to get every living person should get cloned. I sincerely believe that. And sometimes I think maybe God is actually pushing me in this deal. I don't know how God communicated with Jesus and Muhammad and Joseph Smith, you know. And I assume that they were all doing God's bidding, not just the figments of their own imaginations. Surely not. So if they're maybe in a way, God's kind of trying to make me part of his angel squad, you know. And I think maybe like Elon Musk is part of it. You know, I thought about what is God's great plan. What is it? Andy's answer is simple. Believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Well, now that is a nice, simple plan. But if I was a God, that seems just a little underwhelming. To live a life of happiness and bliss forever. First off, I don't know if I'd even like that. I kind of like maybe some of the bad turns in life. You know, it makes life a lot more interesting than... Well, same as say I was born in a nunnery or something. Say I was a girl and just grew up, became a nun and did whatever nuns do, and the life is over. And I'm sure there's a reward there somewhere, but it don't sound like much of a life to me. Anyway, what's God's great plan? I thought. So I go to the imaginary or real God in my mind, and I ask him questions. And it amuses me to see what kind of answers he gives. The thing is, he won't hardly ever give me a straight answer. I ask him the question, what's the purpose? What's your big plan? And he looks at me, and God kind of grins and smiles and said, well, I give you free will. You figure it out. What's my great plan? Well, I thought about it. I thought, if God does have a great plan, when you look at the moon and Mars and all them dead things out there, we got a whole solar system full of dead things, except for Earth. And everything on Earth came about because of one basic thing. The very first DNA. Whenever that was, way before Adam and Eve, that very first DNA is floating around in what kind of ever nasty, it was in some kind of nasty mess. I mean, you couldn't breathe the air because there was no oxygen. There was some kind of DNA somewhere that was able to replicate and have baby DNAs. And they did it again and again and again until basically there was a lot of them. And whatever they was doing, eating and pooping, they gradually, the DNA changed this whole planet, basically from a lifeless rock. I mean, we had an ocean and everything, and so did Mars, and so did the moon, and so did Venus, but they all ran out of time before life developed, conditions got too bad, and none of the DNA that was there, if there was any DNA, could survive. The only place it did is good old planet Earth. And that's the reason I do believe there is a God. And I believe the God that I talk to, he can't move so much as a grain of sand because he's in the dark energy universe. And that's dark energy. We know it's out there, and we know there's more of it than real matter because of the way it affects gravity and light and stuff. And it's all around us, and it's probably all through us, this dark energy, which we can't detect, can't see. It's kind of like a soul, in a way, which you can't see or detect either. So, the God that I talk to, he never answers me directly. He always just said, figure it out for yourself. Okay, so what I've figured out is that by manipulating DNA, God has brought life to this barren piece of rock, and he kept modifying the DNA. And the DNA had to have one basic programming. And every bit of DNA on this planet, somewhere in its core, it's got that one piece of programming. And that is, eat, grow, and reproduce. It don't matter what you are, from a blade of grass to a cricket, to a human. Basic programming in your DNA is eat, grow, and reproduce. Okay, so that's God's great plan, in a way. And by using that, he has brought life to this whole planet. And I think when things get out of balance, I think maybe there's a little tiny streak of dark energy in every living thing. And I think maybe that's what we call our soul. And I think maybe the dark energy is sent, my soul is sent by God, and it hangs around until an egg gets created, the first embryo. And if I'm hanging around, and if I can read that DNA in that egg, say I've been a human before, or close to a human, and I look at that DNA and I think, man, I think I could do that. My soul jumps into that little embryo, and boom, that's the spark of life. And when that happens, my soul is along for the ride. My job is the soul, is to look at that cell's DNA and guide it. You know, divide here, do this, do that, do that. So my soul, although I never know it's there, it's in the back directing everything in the body. Now, when it comes to aging, unfortunately, for all DNA to go through birth, growth, and have a rebirth as a baby, you know, or new whatever you are, let me think here. I'm losing my train of thought, damn it. Anyway, so basically, we're all connected to God. Every living thing on this planet is connected to God. Okay, if there gets to be too much oxygen or too much CO2, when the souls of all the things that live on this planet report back to God, if dead souls report to God, hey, you know, we got too much CO2. The heat's coming up. You know, God will send back new souls, the new generation, and they're programmed to adapt to the conditions as best they can. And anyway, what's God's great plan? Okay, it's got to be to colonize and bring life to all them dead rocks out there. The moon and the stars. God can't snap his fingers and make life happen. He can't. He would, but he can't. But we can. He can't. He never has, except here on Earth. Here on Earth. No, he's got to do it through DNA. That's the only way he can work, is through DNA. He can't snap his fingers and make an atmosphere happen. He has to have an environment where he can create some. Well, I think that's his great plan. And I think right now we're getting close enough, especially with Elon Musk and his spaceships. Humans are the very first DNA on this planet that can live in outer space, can probably replicate in outer space, and spread our DNA to the moon, to the Mars. There's no other DNA God's ever created that can do that. And I think that is what God's great plan is for us to get, and cloning's a part of that, because one life ain't enough to accomplish much. And there ain't no way I can live more than one life except through cloning. So God told me to get her done. I was thinking about writing a book about that and seeing how it would sell, or if it would even sell. I think it maybe could all be true. And then again, could just be a figment of my imagination. But I'm going to try to get cloned. I'm going to do my best. The what's that? Oh, in town? Well, that's an infringement on, it's an infringement on your rights. Huh?
Can they tell if you're speeding?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they probably won't right away. They ain't going to do nothing about it. You know, but also if somebody consistently speeds across some place, they'll send a cop there and give me tickets. I mean, if it's a consistent thing. Yeah, I don't like that. That's pretty much an intrusion on.
I think they're doing it for the money, because eventually they're going to use them speeding.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, that's like Hannibal. My God, that's such a crooked. To get my license back, did I tell you I had to give Iowa $1,000? Oh, that pissed me off. I wasn't no way around the dumb assholes. Back when I got that DUI back in 2002, I pled guilty, went to the classes, paid all the fines. Well, I went to get my license and they wouldn't renew it. They said Iowa's got a hold on it. So I gave Andy the phone number. He called him up. Iowa says, well, you've got some unpaid things that have been accumulating in value, and it's $1,000 now. So I don't know if it was about the DUI or. Oh, no, my own damn fault. I went down there and told I wanted one of them new fancy IDs. I should not have done that, because that goes into this federal database. So all the information that Iowa had was downloaded into the federal database, which was downloaded into Illinois.
But eventually you have to get them anyway. So.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to pay it. I thought, fuck it. I ain't going to be driving much longer anyway. I thought I'll just drive. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. There's no. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I give them $1,000 to Fort Madison. And the judge said, well, if you donate $1,000 to Fort Madison's Historic Restoration Fund, he said it would just be a city offense, and he said there would be no conviction. And so basically, it was just Fort Madison's ticket, period. It was just a city ticket. And they didn't turn it over to the state, supposedly. Or I don't know. Well, whatever. It cost me $1,000. Pissed me off. Yeah. Well, I did get my license renewed. I did, but I just got a regular license. Oh, fuck that. But that's what did it. Well, that's what I did. After I said I wanted a fancy one, the gal on her computer was doing stuff, and she downloaded the stuff from the federal database.
I know, but you paid $1,000, so you should have just went ahead and got the fancy one.
Well, what? Nah, fuck. I ain't gonna. It's a. I ain't gonna go nowhere. I still got my passport too, but I thought, shit, I'm just about done. I really don't think I'm going to make it through another year. And truth, I really don't want to, in a way. Well, yes, maybe I do. It's like I want another life. I'm going to get it set up to have another life before I check out. So that's kind of what's driving me now. What's the point of life if you can't get born again? There ain't no point to it. I mean, get born, grow up, do what God said, eat, reproduce, grow, die, grow old. This one lady was doing research on these worms. And these worms only live for 3 days. They're some kind of minotope worm. They're a little tiny worm, microscopic, and they live in the soil, and there's gazillions of them. And they live 3 days. They hatch out from an egg, and they turn into a baby worm, I guess. And they eat whatever's around them, grow, and then they mate, and then they produce eggs. And then, anyway, 3 days time, born, life, and death. Well, this one lady, she was a genetics research lady. And the reason, she was trying to find out what causes aging in animals. And she was experimenting with rats and different things. And it was pretty hard. Humans, I forget how many genes humans have, but they got a lot of genes in their DNA. This worm only had 20 genes. Now, so what she did, she used a tiny microscope. And when the egg was first made, she'd go in there and pull out parts of the DNA. And when she pulled out some parts, well, the worm immediately died. And she pulled out other parts, well, it wouldn't have a digestive system. She'd pull out another part. Well, anyway, she kept doing that. I mean, there's only 20,000 of them, so that's not a whole lot. She pulled out one, and the egg wouldn't develop. It just stayed an egg. And that, and around that gene was other strands. So this worm had two genes in its DNA, which every living thing has. Every living thing has this same thing, you and me and every other. It's an aging gene and a youth gene. Now, to get born and develop, you have to have an aging gene, because the one that she pulled out, it stayed an egg forever. It was a healthy, viable egg, but it wouldn't develop. It was just an egg. So she figured she must have pulled out the aging gene. So what she was trying to do in her experiment was let the egg split and divide, age for a while, and then when it got mature, pull the aging DNA out of it. And she did. And this little worm, it lives 3 days, lived 30 days. Yeah. And anyway, that's what her study was. She put it in the Scientific American or whatever. Now, the problem is to do that on a, you have to do it, basically. Well, you can't really do it. You have to wait until they're mature to pull that aging gene. And she could do that in that little thing. But there still may be some way to stop that damn aging gene. We just ain't figured it out yet. Oh, I'd say 18. Shit. Make me 18. Shit. Well, 16, 17, 18. All those years. My God. I mean, now if you really want to muscle up, you probably need to be older. Probably 24, 25 to really muscle up. But any of those ages would do. And in my imaginary story, once I'm cloned, we do some research on it, and we get her done. So I'd be like Lazarus. I get cloned one time. Maybe next time we can concentrate on that damn aging gene. And my clone, when he gets to be a good mature age, we just pull that aging gene out or reduce it. And my clone can live maybe 300, 400, 500 years before he wears out and has to have a replacement clone. So that would help with the population control fight a little bit. You know, if you didn't want to get greedy and have a whole bunch of clones. The problem is, clones are just you and me. And people like you and me, I'm sure, would keep messing around with other people, of course. And just have lots of regular kids, too. Well, but then again, we probably wouldn't unless we could afford to feed them and house them and take care of them. You know, responsible parents. And unfortunately, in this country, we got people who are born in such situations where they can't be responsible. You know, a woman that has a kid and then have the state come in and give her everything she needs, to me, that's kind of an irresponsible part on the state. Because why not have another kid and another, you know? And kids, kids are fun, I guess. Yeah, well, they entertain you. And I don't know. Anyway. Judy's a good patient listener. I'm really surprised her. He didn't shush me. Leo would have shushed me a long time ago. He would have shushed me. I know, Jerry, I had so much fun with Jerry. I get going on with my things, and he would patiently listen to me for a while. Edith, stifle yourself, Edith. Damn. He got everybody trained in the barn to do that too. As soon as I start talking about pony, they all look at me and shush me. But I want to get them all cloned, especially them old geezers like me. Nothing. It's just sitting there. He ain't got a stone yet. Andy took me down there, and a great big tree fell across the road going up to it. I couldn't walk up there because I ain't strong enough. And that tree was in the way, so Andy couldn't drive up there. So he got around a tree, and he said, Jerry's grave just had the marker on it, no stone. Well, I thought, well, that's a huge tree. It's about half the size of this car. And it about a couple hundred-year-old tree. And half of it rotted and just fell over and just is blocking the way. And you're going to have a pretty decent chainsaw to get that damn thing out of there. I mean, you really ought to have at least a 24-inch chainsaw to saw it up. I mean, it's a really huge piece of wood. I don't know. They're doping it up, I'm sure. And no, hell. Well, his one son is, and a gal at the tavern said she was impressed. He was working at one of them fancy places as a waiter. I forget, Tiramisu, I don't know, someplace. Anyway, he's a male waiter, and he said, gee, he's real professional. He dresses nice. He's real pleasant. He takes your order, and I don't know if any place has got male waiters, but it must be kind of a fancy place. Anyway, she said he's impressed her. The other one, he does kind of odd job things, and both of them, well, they were living with their moms and their girlfriend, so I don't know what they're doing. But Jerry left him $100,000 cash. He had that in a safe, and he. Before he died, he said, well, I had to tell Ethan where it was at. And he didn't want to, but he knew he was going down. And he was staying in town and wasn't down at the house, and that's where the safe was. So he had Ethan go down and get it. And anyway, when he died, they had it. Him and his two sons had it. I'm sure they split it up. And then, more than that, he had $60,000 in the bank account. That went to them, and then he had a 401k with $210,000 in it, and I mean, they'll have to cash that in, but that's not, I mean, so my God, they got each, oh yeah, they got a lot of money, but both of them do drugs, and both of well, anyway, his little farm's just sitting down there. Yeah, if I could, I'd love to buy it. I mean, I'm waiting. Well, it pays for itself. There's a farmer comes in and puts corn on it, beans, and that pays all the taxes. So they can just let it sit there. It never costs them a dime.
Yeah, but if they can let it sit there and not cost them a dime, they can sell it and get $100,000.
I think that's what, well, yeah, it was his mom and dad's home.
Yeah.
And, well, now, if his kids would do that, I kind of imagine one of Jerry's brothers would buy it. They both got plenty of money, but they're both older than Jerry. They're both, one of them's in his 90s, the other one's in his 80s. Jerry was a baby of the family. He was born like 16 years after his brothers. They're both still alive. And they both got plenty of money, so I would imagine that if his kids put it up for sale. Well, they own the ground next to it. See, Jerry's dad at one time had about 250 acres, something like it. Anyway, Jerry always bitched because his brothers got the good ground that was like 80 acres, I think, and 60 acres. And it was just good farm ground, flat. And that's where the money was. And his brothers got that, and he got the old farm, which was 40 acres and only had 20 acres that you could farm. The rest of it was hills and hollers. But he's got a pond on it that covers 3 or 4 acres. And it's the drain tube rusted off on it, so now it's all silted in. And it'd have to be drained a little bit and then dug out again to make a really good pond. But it would make a wonderful pond. And Jerry said when his dad first had that made back in the 60s, he said, my God, anytime they wanted catfish or anything, just go up there and get it out of the pond. So basically, I think he had a pretty fun childhood in a way, except I think he might have been lonely. You know, no brothers or sisters around, no other kids in the area. I mean, that might have been something. Anyway, I'm going to try and write a book about Kaylee Family Clothing Corporation. I told Lance, I'm getting serious. I got to get this shit done. And I don't mind spending a few thousand dollars on that stupid website. I spent $3,000 on it. And I think it's got big potential, but I do not know how to use a website. Now, that gal, she kept wanting more and more money. She goes, well, if you get this, you can sell things. If you get this, you can have a fundraiser. If you get money for this, you can...
No,
I didn't know how to do any of it. And I told her, I don't know how to do it. I said, could you guys set it up? She goes, oh, yeah, we'll help you set it up. But then there ain't nothing.
So I mean, you sit there because you don't know how to use it.
Yeah, and they didn't help me do anything other than make a $150 website, Andy said, for what's there. Is it that, you know, that 150 bucks, that's all you got. And I think he's right. That's all I got there. I did, and I spent $3,000 on that, which was stupid. I almost spent $6,000. She wanted another $2,000 to help me write a book. She goes, oh, $2,000 more. Well, she first said it was $4,000. Then she said, well, your story is so good, and we think it'll sell on, it might become a bestseller, the Kaylee Family Cloning Corporation story. She said, there's no other stories out there like that. She said, it's completely original. And I would give her $2,000 if I trusted her, but I don't.
Well, the thing is, she needs you to write it, give it to her, that she'll put it on there. Well, you don't want to write
what I did, I Googled it then, and I asked, I said, well, is there anybody who would help me write a book? And they had all these different things. They're called ghost writers. And I called up several of them to see what, basically, it's the same thing. All these ghostwriters have got a team of guys who work together, and they design the book cover, and they do this, and they do that, and they do all kinds. They go over what you tell them. They rewrite it to where it makes good sense and is legible, no misspellings. And anyway, but they wanted $4,000, and then the guy, just before I hung up, he said, well, today only $2,000. Well, and he was saying, you know, your story is absolutely unique. He said, you know, you might be able to, you know, become a bestseller. And I kind of think maybe it could. I could see where you can make movies and shit out of it with a little imagination. I mean, you could have love stories. You could have adventure stories for your clones. You could, all kinds of things. If you had the imagination and wanted to take the time to do it. Once the idea of cloning was put out there. Anyway, I'm going to try to get her done yet. I told Andy, he said he knows this lady in town who's published 4 or 5 books about, I mean, I don't know what the hell she published them about, but something. I told Andy, I said, will you talk to her and find out what I got to do just to publish a single book? I said, just tell her I want to do my memoirs, my life story. It seemed like the simplest thing. which I wouldn't mind doing either, because if I do succeed in getting cloned, I want to write a book with as many things as I can remember for my future selves. And, you know, your memory fades as you get older, and your brain has to get rid of the old memories to make room for new ones. They had a guy on TV there, your brain's only got so much storage. That's the reason you can't really remember anything from when you was a baby. All the things that you learned then, well, you needed the brain space. And your data bank is full. And they said it really starts about the age of 30, where you really start losing lots of earlier memories. But you know, like a baby memories, hell, they're gone by the time you're, I don't know. I'm sure when I was one or two, I must have, I'm sure I had memories, you know, but they're gone. I don't remember none of them. Although I know, I learned how to pee and I learned how to walk. Learn how to do everything else that you're supposed to do, but the memories of doing those things are all gone. And I was trying, the earliest memory I can really remember that I can call a memory, my God, I can remember just the very few memories from when I was a kid. I know we lived next to the, anyway, if I write my book about my previous life, I'll try to remember all that stuff. Like the neighbor's apricot tree. When I was a kid, we had so much fun climbing up there and eating apricots. That was the Burwinkles. They lived right next. Anyway, I do remember that. And remember the Burwinkles? There was three girls, and the cutest one was Kathy. And if we hadn't moved away from there, I probably would have married Kathy. I really like Kathy. Anyway, that's not how it worked out. But I thought, well, if I do succeed in getting cloned, all these memories, my future selves might be interested enough to take the time to download it from wherever it's been stored at and just listen to parts of it. Imagine I skim through most of it. I probably would. So, yeah. Oh, here I am, 20. What happened when I was 20? I'm 20 now. What happened when I was 20 first time around? Well, 20. My God, joined goddamn Navy. Cousin Dick talked me into it. Dumb idea. Destroyed my family. When I left, Mom, who was a little bit crazy, loaded the kids up and left for Texas and used me as the excuse. She said she was brokenhearted because I left. So, me joining the service destroyed my family. So that meant that Terry and Teresa all grew up with basically pretty nasty lives. I mean, they had everything they needed, Mom and Dad, but they should have stayed up here in Quincy. It'd have been a lot better. Anyway, that's not how it worked out. So, if a future 20-year-old reads that, maybe it'll make them think about, well, at 20, you're usually pretty well involved in your family yet. So, at 20, I guess you really should pay attention to your family's needs and what part you're playing in it. And I knew I calmed down. Mom would get goofier and shit. And Pam did too. And I could usually deal with that up to a point. And then, and like in Pam's case, I finally just said to hell with it. Go ahead and be crazy. And then she took the kids and went away to be crazy. I stood back and watched. I mean, that's kind of one story, sort of, kind of. Anyway, I told Annie to talk to that gal. Well, because if she has done it, then she knows what the cost is. I mean, or hopefully the cheapest cost. And I'm going to pay it. I'm going to try and get...
Do you want the book to have for you with your grandkids, or do you want to publish a book?
I just want to put it out there for free. I don't care. The Cayley Family Cloning Corporation. That's the big one. That's the one I really want to get out there. And in my imaginary story, an old geezer like me decides that he loves his old body enough that he wants to give it a second life. I can't do nothing about dying. The DNA in this body is pre-programmed. is designed to quit. I've served my function. I've grown, matured, past matured. I'm rotten fruit now.
Are you 70 or
72? 72 now. 72. Yeah, rotten fruit, that's what I am. Like an old rotten apple. Still around, but not much good no more. And soon you go back to mush. And that's what's going to happen with this body, except... No, I stayed at that Firehouse Tavern. I shouldn't have. I was going to go down to Instant Replay. Yeah, I stayed there until 10 o'clock, and I shouldn't have. I drank two pitchers of beer. People were buying me shots. I know. And then I was smoking pot, which was making me even more goofier than usual. Everybody else in there was smoking pot, too. It was all... So basically, it was a whole bunch of stoners sitting around in the bar listening to music and talking nonsense. But I don't even know what the hell. Well, I got gal getting beat up or whoever it was is talking about that. And I tell you what, I just enjoy it. I tell you what, every bar I go to, usually, I just enjoy it. I just like listening to people talk and goof around and listen to the music. And I just enjoy it. Yeah, well. To me, it's just a lot of fun, especially if you're drinking. You know, you get a kind of a good feeling buzz there. You want to drink more, which is bad. But, yeah. Well, they didn't have many. There's only four or five of us there. Four or five people in the bar. A few people would stop in, and they'd see it wasn't nothing going on, so they would move on. You know, most of the people were looking for... Some places had a little excitement. They'd come in and drink one beer. And that place might be for sale. The gal that owns it, her two sons, she's trying to train them to take it over. She's 85, I think. And she's got two sons. And the one she was counting on hung himself. So he's gone. I don't know. Yeah, shoot. I would like to get everybody on this planet the opportunity to save their tissue. I mean, you don't got to get cloned. You don't even got to think about it. The Cayley Family Cloning Corporation, if I had the money, I'd store everybody's DNA for free if they wanted. And their pets, too. Would you like to get hatched out with your cats and dogs with you? You'd all grow up at the same time if you wanted. Your little baby, you know, I mean, playing around, you growing old and dying. Well, you could keep replacing them as you get older. And so when you replace yourself, it'll seem just natural as apple pie. And if you clone them and you decide you don't like them anymore, you can just let that DNA die out. But you can save it, you know, in case you ever want them back again. I just see so much fun with cloning. I think God wants it done. Last night, they changed bartenders at 5 o'clock. The gal who come in, she's in her 30s, and this young guy come in, he's all stoned as hell, he smelled the smoke, and he walked in, everybody says, oh, it smells like smoke, man. Anyway, he just grinned, but he had his and her son with him, and his and her son is probably about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, maybe. So she's 30, she said, so she probably had him when she was in her 20s. They never got married or nothing. Anyway, that's the father of her son. But she's living. There's a guy next to me, an old guy, my age, maybe a little older even. And he used to run around Danny Niekamp's dad years ago. And I was asking him if he remembered one time at the Wandering Inn bar, Danny's dad and him came into it, and they were supposed to have a wet t-shirt contest there. And I went down there, too, to see the wet t-shirt contest. Well, it was the day before. I think we went down there on a Sunday, maybe it was a Saturday, but whatever it was, we missed the wet t-shirt contest. And there was two gals sitting behind the bar, or bartending, and I kind of half-assed knew them both. And Danny's dad and this other guy came in and said, "Where in the hell is the titties at? We come down to see the wet t-shirts." And so he bought a round of beer there, and he was bitching about, "Well, I come down, I've been waiting to see these here wet titties." And anyway, the gal behind the bar said, well, here, I'll just show you mine. So she pulled her top up, and I never knew women got varicose boobs. I never seen nothing like it. It had hundreds of blue veins all over it. I mean, I never seen boobs look like that. And anyway, Danny's dad, he said, put down, and she wouldn't. She got to say it. "These are pretty fine boobs." And anyway, she probably put her shirt down. Danny's dad gave her $5. Well, anyway, I was asking this guy if he remembered that. And he didn't at first. He said, "I don't remember that." I said, "Well, you was there. I thought he was Danny's dad." And he said, "No." I said, "I was Danny's dad's sidekick. Danny's dad died." And I said, "Oh." Well, anyway, the gal was bartending. I forgot his name. And I said, "Hey, what the hell's that guy's name?" She goes, "Oh, my husband." And I thought, "Husband?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, I signed a prenup. We're married." And he was telling me that they've been basically married for 3 or 4 years now. And he said she saved my life. He's got a little farm out there, and he's still got cattle. He said it's hard for him to feed the things. He said he might end up shutting them down this year. He said it's just getting too hard for him. Anyway, he was having chest pains, and she took him to the hospital and insisted that he got a cow valve put in him, and same thing as me, bypass. And he said, "Well, she saved my life, you know." And I thought, well, that's pretty damn decent of her. And she ain't going to touch his assets except what he wants to give her. And he got the company and companion, and she's a lot of fun. She's having fun. Oh, smokes a little too much dope, maybe. But anyway, I thought, yeah, it's not a bad deal. You know, and she entertains him, and he lets her still hang around or see her old boyfriend and her kid. And, well, I asked him that, and he said, "Well, you know," he said, "over the years," he said, "I've watched her grow up, you know, and she's been working in bars, well, ever since she was 21. And he said, "You know, I always, over the years, always tried to go to the bars where she was at. And this guy, I don't think was ever married. I don't think he was, but if he was, she passed away. Anyway, he said, "You know, I got tired of living by myself, and I just told her, 'Hey, you want to get married? Come out and live on the farm with me.'" Because she wasn't living with her boyfriend anymore. And she had the kid. Anyway, so she said, "Yeah, let's do that." So she's his wife. But it's kind of funny. See this old man there? Young lady's his wife. Well, it's just kind of... So like I said, these bars that I go to, they're like episodes of Cheers to me. Now, I kind of get to know all the characters in these various stories. And I'm part of it. I try to stay low-key, though. I don't want to be one of the stars. Jerry was kind of one of the stars. And I'd like to hang around with the stars of the show, if I can. Because that's always kind of fun, to be the wingman. So, I don't know. You know, I thought, really, you know, if they had cameras and stuff set up in the bars, you could probably make some kind of a little TV show out of a lot of these bars. You know, if you had like a hour episode every day of a bar, tell everybody what the hell's going on. You're having an episode of Firehouse here, you know, and everybody just acts normal, do what they normally do. Somebody sitting at home, nothing else to do. Oh, you know, it wasn't. Might enjoy it, like Cheers. But Cheers had a scripted plot. The problem with the bar show is you wouldn't have a script to go by.
I heard the name Frasier.
Yeah. Young Frasier or old Frasier? Young Frasier was pretty.
Now, I don't know. They said they don't know if they're going to have any of the characters that were the original
Frasier. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I like Cheers. I watched probably most of them over the years. Frasier, I just never did care for. You know, he was okay, and I watched him and Young Frasier or whatever that was, and I don't know.
Then when Frasier kind of went off, they brought another show on, kind of over, that was Betty Moore, so I didn't care for it at all. You know how they take the person off the show and make
right.
Show about it.
Right. Instead of sitting in a room this time, I might go out there and try and kill time playing roulette. Thing is, with roulette, you can make your money last a while if you don't got to keep pushing the button. You can skip bets. And I've always said I wanted to do that progressive betting thing. Ooh, dead cat.
I love that
cat. I know. We'll get that cat cloned. Take it along. I might, like, get me one, too. I'll get a kitten, too. Maybe.
Lucy Murphy can't jump up on the bed. I have to put up there. That cat gets up and spreads out.
No.
She jumps up and looks over at him like, yeah. My cat.
That's a good cat. I knew when I seen it there, it was such a loving cat. And, you know, not being declawed, it would take its little paws and it would just start working on my hand like it was trying to shake hands with. Yes.
But it does have hurt claws because sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Stretched
yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just knew that. I'm just sure. You know, I felt bad when I was bringing it down because it was screeching and crying and carrying on. I thought, oh, shit, cat. You know, but I knew it wasn't much of a life there in my place. And I thought maybe one of the neighbors would take it in, but nobody ever did.
You know, and it's gotten to where it knows I don't want it to go out because I'm afraid
mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it never goes to the bathroom in the house except for the litter box.
Uh-huh.
And so, it's gotten to where I can open the back door and look out the mat and just lay there by the door and watch. And then every once in a while, it might walk out on the porch.
Uh-huh.
And it'll look up at me, then walk around, let me turn around and walk back in.
Well, maybe when summer gets out here and you're working in the garden, you can let it out and it'll probably tag along with you. You know, I bet it would.
I mean, I think it probably would come back in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been cold and I don't want to sit out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, next summer when you're working in your garden and stuff, let the cat out. He'll follow you around. And I imagine he or she would enjoy it. I think it's a girl cat, though. I don't know. I just figured it was a female spayed cat, but I don't know. Yeah, you told me that.
I would never think I had this many
mice. Well, you know, once...
Her gun can't see nothing. She doesn't see it. She just hears something. She starts. And finally, she sees it. She catches it.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, the cat's got a good, stable cat life now.
It's happy, too.
I mean, yeah, it's happy. And, well, at my place, you know, I was gone all the time. And I'm, you know, half sick all the time. And my house is entirely too cluttered for a cat. And,
you can go down in the little boxes.
Yeah.
Go down in the basement,
old
carriage,
and winter, which is the carriage on. Well, see, that was the only time. That's the only.
Yeah. Only, you know,
well, that was the only. That was
the only thing I didn't like about the cat is it wants to get on the tables and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've got where I yell at it.
Uh huh.
I don't hit it.
Yeah, it jumps right on. Right.
But I would say, get out. I'm going to shut it down, you know.
Mm hmm.
Don't do it. And put his head down and he doesn't do it. But I mean, that cat, it's a smart cat.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, even like when it's in the bedroom, if I'm going to close the door, I'm like, come on, I've got to get out. I've got to close the door. And it'll look at me and it'll jump out and walk out. I mean, that is the best cat.
Well, I just knew it was special. Well, what made me think it was special was it would only eat cat food. I've never ever had a cat that wouldn't eat chicken bones or...
Yeah, it eats cat food, and I found one treat that it
Yeah, you told me that.
And it's pricey. But when I come home at night, it'll be little,
uh-huh.
It's like cat food, but it's something.
Got some kind of
treat thing. I'll sprinkle a little on top of her food, and she'll eat it, and she's mine. Or in the morning, I get up and I give the dogs a treat.
Uh-huh.
She wants her treat. And I can sprinkle a little in her bowl while she eats it. Otherwise, cat food. I've tried giving her other stuff. You know, sometimes I'll buy chicken legs and make
right.
dogs. I'll try to give chicken to her. She won't just, I can't get her eat anything. I just
Yeah. Well, I did too. And, you know, and she was living outdoors. I mean, and it was cold. She made it that last winter outside. You know, I don't know where she was staying. Brandon said when he was out there in the garage, she'd be out there just rubbing on him. And he said, yeah, she's just living in the garage here. Well, that sure ain't much of a life for a cat that's been raised indoors.
Lucy will. Like, if I put Lucy up on the bed at night, I'll lift her up on the bed, and the cat sleeps with us, too. But sometimes the cat will get up, and Lucy will lay down across in front of me.
Uh-huh.
Spread her, like, just spread out, like, you can't lay by her. Like, blocking me. And the cat will get up and kind of go down by my feet.
Uh-huh.
So Lucy does the cat will come up.
No, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
They get along. I mean, the dogs will just, the cat will be standing there at the door, standing there by the door. The dogs will, you know, rush right by her in and out the door. They're not greedy.
Well, I sure am glad that she matched up with you. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know what to.
I mean, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to take good care of
them. Oh, yeah, you do. You know.
I try to treat my animals good anyway, but I mean, and I.
Well, and she gets along with the dogs,
oh, she gets
you know.
Attention, cause she, I mean, especially in the morning and at night when I come home, I give her a little treat and she'll come up and give her a leg. So I take my claw, I'll scratch her head real good two or three times. Then she'll put her butt up in there and I'll scratch her back by the tail and give her a little treat and then she's happy.
Happy cat.
She'll follow me around until I do it.
Yeah, she got you trained.
Yes, she does. I know what she wants from me, so you
have
to do what I have to do.
Yeah, shoot.
Didn't find anything close.
You know, we shall see. Looks like there might be. Nope, all four. All four.
Truck's looking. Everyone's looking.
Yeah. Well, if you want, yeah, I'll give you some time to to look for a place to get my coat on here. It might take me a minute. Oh, okay, there. Whoa, second here. Let me. Oh, shoot. Damn. Oh shit. That's no. That's just empty cups. Yeah, shoot. Sorry for doing that. I'm afraid I'll drop a damn coat if I don't put it on. Damn hands are so fucking numb. Oh, shit. Alrighty. Uh-oh. Well, once I get out of here, you can zoom in on something. Oops. Oops. Damn. Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Oh, we're at the casino. Judy dropped me off. I'm heading for the men's room. About to pee my pants. Another thing, this old body, it ain't working so good on that type stuff. Yeah, this is the men's. Yeah. Oh, hey. Whew. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I'm at the casino, and I'm going to have to check out. I don't know if he made any sense out of my show or story, or just a day in my life, a day in the life of Brian at the casino. I'll probably do this again later when the band's playing. My clones? Hey, God bless you.